I'll be reading Luke 12:48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone who is given, for everyone to whom much is given, for him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more.
Thank you, Garrett. Good morning. It is the time of year for graduations. I have a young man in our church family here that is graduating from high school this year, Christopher Brown. I know we all want to impart our wisdom to the youth. In our minds, it is to guide them, to help them, to make their path in life easier. When I was a young one, many, many gray hairs ago, it felt like people were telling me where to go and what to do and exerting control over me because I didn't know how to make decisions for myself. Now, as an old man, I realize that the advice is to tell them about the mistakes that I have made and the choices that I regret so that they can avoid the heartaches that I've had. Wisdom I don't have. Scars, bruises, character, I have an abundance. Today I'd like to share these things. For the young, it will be a warning. For some, it'll be confirmation that you're not alone. And for the truly mature, like Jim, it will be a good reminder of how easy life was back when you were younger. In honor of Christopher, I promise to keep it short and sweet. In my current job, I mark the passage of time by the seasons. I don't wear a watch or have an alarm clock. I rarely know what day of the week it is until Sunday. And I only know what day of the month it is during calving because I write down everybody's birthday in my phone. But I always know the season. Wrestling, calving, planting, haying, combining, weaning, and then back around again. I've been back on the ranch for 5 years now, and I'm starting to get comfortable with the cycles of the business, the ebb and flow of the seasons. I've learned to enjoy each season for its good points and not to wish for the next any faster than God intended. Wrestling season, I get to spend every Saturday with my family. I get to see my children put forth their best effort, to celebrate with them when they succeed and mourn with them when they don't. I get to watch them grow in their understanding of the blessings the Lord has given them, both physical talents and the mental toughness that competition builds. The opportunity to be with my kids and teach them to be godly men and women in all situations is a wonderful opportunity that I have been blessed with. Calving season. During calving season, I get to see the miracle of birth every day. Babies are so cute. The good Lord made them that way, otherwise there's no way we would put up. I also get to see the tragedy of death too often. I'm humbled by how precarious and precious life is. I am reminded daily of our life being an opportunity to grow in our relationship with God. This life is temporary. It can be gone in an instant. But our relationship with the Lord is eternal. I also get to see the sunrise without waking up ridiculously early. Planting season. To sow and fertilize and watch in real time as God gives the increase is an incredible blessing that very few take the time to participate in. And as God told Adam, "Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." God was right. It's not easy. But the toil brings me closer to God. I understand that no matter how hard I work, or plan, or pray, it is God that gives the increase. I am comforted by the fact that while the crop may be a disaster, He makes sure that there's enough left over to manage the stewardship that I've been blessed with. To read that verse from Genesis and then live that life, it's an awesome stewardship and a blessing. Haying and combining season. The time to reap what it was sown. With all harvests, it's so stressful. Like last year, the crop was beautiful. The rains had come and the wheat was tall and starting to fill. The hay was almost ready to cut, and then the great white harvester came. It hailed just enough to destroy the wheat crop and knock all the leaves off the alfalfa, just leaving stems. But this brought me closer to God. My spiritual life is just as vulnerable as those crops. It makes me talk to God more. It makes me more comfortable about my salvation. I work on my relationship with the Lord every day because you never know when you will be called to account. Like the farmer says, it's not a crop till it's in the bin. I rejoice in God's grace, and I continuously request and accept God's offer of salvation. I also get to see the amazing sunrises when I'm still up ridiculously early. Weaning season. When the Bible talks about there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, I think I know what that sounds like. When the calves are weaned from their mothers, it is 3 days of weeping and gnashing of teeth. As a father, it pulls at your heart. On the third day, when everything is quiet and the calves are settled, it's like when Noah saw the dove with olive branch and knew everything was going to be okay. In our culture, we mark the passage of time in our life with events: birth, going to school, graduation, marriage, kids, retirement, death. While I haven't made it all the way through that list, I've made it far enough to make a few observations. All these milestones do not mark beginnings and endings. Like God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Your relationship with God is eternal. These milestones mark the passage of time, but they do not mark a beginning or end any more than they mark a beginning or end of your relationship with God. These events do mark new stewardships that build on your life to that point. I would like to say that when you graduate, you have a clean slate, that you start over from the exact same spot as everybody else, but it wouldn't be true. You start from the point that you have built to. Your hard work, your character, your ambition, your relationship with the Lord, this is where you will start after graduation. This next stewardship is one of much higher risks and rewards. As we heard in the scripture reading, "But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they ask the more." I guarantee you will earn your stripes. We all have. If the good Lord didn't want us to learn and grow in him, he would have made us all like Jesus. The trick is to learn from your stripes and seek God. As you pursue God and love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, much will be given unto you. You will find that you are presented with the opportunity to love your neighbor as yourself. This next stewardship, after graduation, is a stewardship of work. Whether that work is more school, a job, or a business of your own, it will be work. Paul talks about work in 2 Thessalonians. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil day and night, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Never tire of doing good work, of loving your neighbor. Roger and Cora are a shining example of this. You're blessed to have grown up in a house that shows such love. My wife Cheyenne is one of those people who gives of themselves selflessly. For me, it's more of a conscious decision, but one that I never regret. Over the years, I have been taken advantage of by people, by friends, either financially or emotionally. And it hurt, and I was bitter for a long time. I had a roommate that borrowed a month's rent from me in college. My grandpa said, "You'll never see that again." I didn't believe him, but he was right. I never saw the money or the roommate ever again. It took a long time, but I learned that when you give, give generously and give freely. Give in love with no expectation that you'll see any returns other than God's love. If you give everything you have in love, you will never be found wanting. Paul's not only talking about hard work, but he is also giving a warning about the company you keep. I've given a sermon here before where I told you how engineers will put sailors to shame for foul language. Everyone I was around cursed, and it became a habit. There was one man who I'm now proud to call a Christian brother who didn't. It took years for it to sink in, but I finally realized that wasn't what I needed to be doing. It took a lot of time and encouragement from my wife, but I've learned to soften my tongue. I give this not as an example of my own faults, of which there are many, but as an example of a strong Christian and the profound impact that your example can have on others long after you have parted ways. We plant the seed and water it, and God gives the increase. We've talked about events and milestones. Graduation from high school is an important milestone in your life. It's not a pinnacle. It's not a mountaintop. It's not a point to stop and rest. It is the beginning of a new stewardship and an opportunity for new growth in your relationship with God. I told you that I don't have wisdom. I do have the knowledge of the outcomes of my successes and failures, and I suppose that's a lot like wisdom. So if I were to give advice on how to become wise, it is to go out and have lots of successes and lots of failures and learn from them. There are two passages that I would like to leave you with. The first is Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. I think what he's saying is, for every down, there will be an up. For every sad, there will be a happy. And they will not cease. Enjoy them all. The good ones are easy to enjoy. The hard ones will be hard. But they can really build your relationship with the Lord. You need to remember, that's what the hard ones are for. The second is out of Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. For what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of man are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know whatever God does, it shall not be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him, that which has already been, and that what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. Christopher, remember, he has put eternity upon your heart. Rejoice, do good, eat, drink, and enjoy the good of all your labor, for it is a gift from God. Please stand as we sing the song of invitation.